So we'll speak for 140 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Jasmine Amanadik.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, guys. Well, I am a bit nervous. I've done share here before, but I'm a bit nervous because 35 minutes sounds like a long time. I'm a chatterbox, it shouldn't be a problem. I can definitely talk about myself for that long. But then I was thinking, what do I put in it, you know? What got me when I came to my first NA meeting is that there was this guy who was doing a share, and he talked about before NA and after NA. That's his experience, his strength, and his hopes. I think that's what I'm gonna do. As you can hear, I'm French. I've been here for a few years, but I'm French. And I'm an addict. I got into NA here in London, and I got clean here in London. I got here 7 years ago with my suitcase, and the end of a bag of smack in my bra. I also had my script in my suitcase, and I moved in to a place in Elephant and Castle, and I put my suitcase down and I went to knock on the door of my neighbor's door because I knew that she smoked weed. And first thing I did was like, okay, I need something to smoke for tonight, you know. And right away I slipped back into the same life I had in France, like that, you know, like slipping into like old, comfortable, like pair of slippers, you know, like, whoop, and that was it. I'm gonna go a bit before that. So because I was already an addict at this point, like a full blown addict. I was already in my like third or fourth life as addict. I know that my addiction takes, you know, its roots into many different things. Like definitely I was like an avid book reader, and I would like do video games too much, and I would have a type of food that I would love, and I would just eat only that, and I would just obsess as a child. I would just obsess and go into my own head a lot, and I would always feel very different. I always felt different. At school I was different, at home I was different, and I was clearly told, especially at home, not my main home but the secondary home I would go to with my dad, that I was clearly different, I was bullied, and I deserved apparently to suffer for some reason. So I would just withdraw into my head and the books, and I developed this like my own world, and and then I would go back to my mom's, and at school I would just be a weird kid, because I would fight, I would argue, I would. You know, I wanted to be the pink girly girl that does very well at school and all that, and instead of that I was just hanging out with the boys and fighting and being punished all the time. And and that's what I did for 20 years actually, hanging out with the boys and doing shit. So I remember then, a few years later, telling my first encounter. I mean, I'm French, as I said, you know, so obviously I was put in situations where I would just like sing, like sneak like the old like glass of wine, or you know, the like, I think everybody did that. I mean, probably in this room everybody did that, I mean, you know. But the first time I got drunk, I was, I don't know, 12, and I had told my mom I was going to sleep at friends of mine, and I went to a hockey game, and we had bought like 10 cans of beer, and I drank way too much, and it was horrible. And a week later, I went to a birthday party, and I brought a bottle of whiskey, and I got completely drunk, made a fool of myself, passed out, and I decided that alcohol was shit. And then I went to another hockey game, and I ended up with. I grew up in a place that is a bit. It wasn't posh, you know, and I ended up at this hockey game smoking hash with the big boys, and they passed it to me, and I just acted like I knew what it was, and I was like, yeah, yes, yes, I was like, my goodness, and I really liked it, and then life just proposed like opportunities, you know. I believe that. Life brings me what I'm looking for. What I need, we would argue that that's what I needed at the time. That was what I aspired to do. I met more people who were smoking weed, and I became the chick that is the friend of the guy who's got the drug. And I did that for a very long time. But the thing that I will never forget is this. I always call it the hunger, because that's my word for it. But as you were speaking, Anthony, I thought actually it's like the gremlins, you know, like don't feed them after midnight, because you know. And I would smoke it, and then I would turn into this like, oh, like my goodness, I need to find more money. I need to get more. And I would remember going home and like looking through my room and through my house for stuff to sell. And as I said, we weren't posh. There was nothing to fucking sell. There was nothing. So I would have to get creative and putain, this fucking, it was eating me alive. That was constant obsession to find more, like, and what the fuck could I do? And the despair, you know, that come with it, with the, how am I gonna? By then I was 15, smoking weed, playing too much video game, hanging out with boys, being a bit too promiscuous. To be polite, and but as I said, I would always find the guy who had it, and actually I would make it last, you know. So I would stay kind of protected for a little while, and then I just got very depressed. Then I reached rock bottom. I wanted to fucking die. I was 17. I realized that. I'm gonna be an adult soon, and I can't do that. I'm a fucking mess. I don't even want to do life. And now you're telling me I'm gonna have to like take responsibility for myself. No, what the fuck? I don't want to be part of life. I don't want to be part of society. I don't want to have children. I don't want to do fucking school. I don't want to do your fucking shit. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I never felt accepted anywhere I went. I was always singled out. I always singled myself out, maybe. I don't know, you know. But I was not interested in doing the dance, you know. And once again, life brought me what I wanted, you know. As in France, we're very good for rioting and all the strike thing and all that. We had this big thing, and the schools were blocked. And there were riots and all that, and so obviously that was, chaos, yeah, amazing. So I went along with the whole thing, and in this kind of situations, there's always people around, you know. There's people in the, you know, in the core of the thing. Yes, like we know what we're doing here. This is unfair, na na na. And then there is all the people around. Yeah, what the fuck? We're just here to fucking get drunk, and you know, like. And yeah. And I met a guy, two guys actually, and both of them, like, you know, when I think about it, like, either one I would have gone with at the end would have been the same, the result would have been the same. And I got introduced, well, to Class A's that I fell deeply in love with, because I was so suicidal, you know? Like, I don't even fucking blame myself. I was in such, I was so, so depressed that, of course, I tried it and I was like, wow, you know, it just lifted the weight off me and I just felt better. So, of course, I fucking wanted it. I didn't know what it was, though, but well. And I got introduced to the rave parties. So in France, we put everyone in a, you know, in a truck, in a lorry, whatever. We go in the middle of the woods, and we party there. And yeah, it's not everyone who goes there. it's not for everyone. It's a very You have to know, there is no flyers, there is nothing, you have to know someone who knows someone who knows someone. And it's a different world. And yeah, and there everything is allowed, everything is fine, you know, everyone, you know, and that was, fuck, that's the first time I felt like I fucking belonged. Because there was loads of drugs, there was fucking crazy music that paired really well with drugs, and but it did, it really did, and people were all like me, you know. There were people who were like questioning why they were here and why they had to do the same as they were being told to do, and with that came the squats and came the withdrawing myself from everything, really. And before I knew it, I was hooked to my drug of choice. Long story short, it lasted for many years. Not many years, actually, no. I would say for about 6 years. During those 6 years, I went to detox, I went to psychiatric wards, I got a script, and as you said, Anthony, like I wanted to get clean. But there was little periods of time, you know, where I would just really try to fucking make it work, you know. As I said, I was so dumb. No, I didn't say that. I was really dumb. I was really dumb, and I really tried to make it work, you know. I really, really thought that I could be a successful drug addict, you know, that other people were trying, but they were probably not trying well enough. Mm-hmm. And I was better, and I was gonna make it work. Well, obviously I didn't, but I tried really fucking hard. And it cost me everything. The depression I went to, I was like free falling, you know, and I always thought that at some point, you know, when you're falling, it's something is gonna, you know, you're gonna hit the bottom. And I wasn't. It was just this like endless fall, deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I ended up in a psychiatric unit. I didn't get clean. I didn't get clean. I ended up somehow, because the thing is that even in this place of where everyone is different and everyone is out of society and all that, even then I felt like I belonged, but I knew that I wasn't doing the partying, you know. I still had this thing of, ah, everyone really loves the party, like everyone is about the party. But I was about the drugs, you know, like for me that was like, oh, let's go party, yes, let's get the drugs, you know, that, you know, and then if we were not going party, oh well, that's okay, we can just do the drugs here, like, didn't really matter. And yeah, so I somehow I swapped drugs a few times. I saw doctors who were all very, very confident about what to do, you know, because doctors, they know their shit, you know, so they, yeah, you're gonna take that, and you're gonna see this person, and you're gonna do that, and I listened to them, and, you know, that's never, they never helped. That's my story. I never thought that they could help me. I always heard in what they were saying that, I think I know. And in my head, I was like, you have no fucking clue, but you surely do fucking think you know. And I really thought that no one understood. For me, that was like, you do not understand. Like, I'm fucked. Like, I cannot stop. There is no amount of anything that I cannot stop. I swapped drugs a few times, managed to follow a bit my script, and then I would use again on top of it, or like, and I burnt all the bridges. And I came to a point where I thought, you know what, I'm gonna go to London. It's another country, you know, that's the great idea. Sounded like a really great idea, really, really fucking did. I got to London with my suitcase, the drugs in my bra, and I was on antidepressants as well. And off I went on my way to find a new job. And I used to be a waitress, and I found, you know, and I always say that my addiction found my next job. I became a bartender. Overnight, I was an alcoholic. Overnight. Like, I cannot... I can explain it to you. I'm an addict, so I'm sure it makes sense to you. Overnight, I became an alcoholic. I decided that I had quit smack, so I was a fucking survivor. I'm a fucking warrior, so fuck you, because I don't know many people who do that. So I'm having a bit too much to drink. But fuck you, I'm a warrior, I fucking quit smack. I wouldn't even like buy any, I would smoke weed and you know, but I wouldn't even, you know, if you had some, I would have it, you know. But, you know, I did that. And I forgot that I have, you know, I was like 23 years old with all the like crazy people from London and crazy people who come to London because they're crazy and because they're here just to fucking like get wasted for 6 months and go back home. Except that I never went home. So, and it's a bit like Bunchlins, you know, I would get drunk. I would get people drunk and get drunk with them, and night after night after night after night after night. Guess what happened? Another rock bottom with alcohol again. First time with alcohol this time. You know, because we do like a bit of diversity in there. Sorry for people who have ever or already heard my share, it's still the same story. I ended up in my room, on my own, doing fucking clown shit, like the gas canister that, you know, with my hands fucking bleeding, I couldn't even fucking crack the canister anymore. Desperate, praying to God that he would fucking kill me, you know, because the fucking, like, it was consuming me, and it had been consuming me for so long. I was like, fuck, like, if I'm gonna have to, if that's what life is, fucking make it stop. Fucking make it stop. I came to envy the friends that I had lost, you know, I mean, my friends who had passed because of the drugs and whatever, you know. I was like, fucking take me, because what am I gonna do? I'm just going to go through life like a fucking zombie with this thing eating me away and just abusing everyone that I meet. Fuck that. And when I fucking woke up, you know, And yeah, and so I was on the phone with my mom and she was telling me, do you want to come back to France? And I thought, what am I going to do? Been there, done that, I'm going to be sleeping on her couch and I'm going to be sleeping on her couch, smoking joint for I don't know how long until I get depressed enough so I would get a section again. No. And then I remembered that I had met this girl once upon a time, 5 years before, no, more than that, maybe 7 years before. I had met a girl from London that I met in India, actually, when my mom was so desperate that she thought that bringing me to an ashram in India would somehow save my life. It didn't work either. And I met this girl, and she was like traveling the world with her backpack on her own, like 30 years old, like, yeah, I've been sober for 5 years and all that. I'm a teacher. And she showed me the little big book, and I saw God, God, God. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. Nice. And I thought, what a loser. What a fucking loser. I was a 19-year-old smackhead with no jobs, like no fucking friends, like nothing. We had just were just about to get sectioned, like, but she was the loser, yeah. And I'm not finished. I'm sorry. So I remembered her, and I thought, fuck, this loser. She told me that, you know, and. And I thought, yeah, I think they have something for drugs, like, you know. And I googled it, and there was a meeting the same day at 5:15 in Russell Square. Mm-hmm. And I got there like that on my own. Is it the meeting? I sat in the back. I'm so broken. Like, and yeah, and I shut up. And I listened, and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Because I had been around loads of addicts in my life, obviously, but I had never heard anyone say that you could stop using. And I had never heard anyone telling me that there was a life beyond that. Never. So the first 10 minutes he talked about like his life and the war stories and all that, and I was like, yeah, me too, yeah. And then he said, yeah, and then I stopped everything, no more taking drugs, come to meeting every day, do the steps, and okay, everything. And I had related so strongly with him that, well, you know, and I got dragged kind of to the coffee place after the meeting, and they told me that would be nice if you could come back every day for 90 days, you know, that would be a good start, you know, just, you don't have to do anything, just try to come every day, sit down, listen, it's okay. I got home. On the way home, I hooked up with a guy who had hash. I smoked his hash, went home, smoked mine, and that was the Saturday night, and on the Monday I went back to a meeting and I got clean, and I never used again, and that was a few years ago, and then you know, for the first time I belonged, fuck, I belonged, and. Because I belonged with the junkies. Not gonna lie, I really did belong. But there was always this like uncomfortable feeling that, yeah, but we're all here and it's all nice and we're all together and all that, but I'm in pain and I'm not completely sure that's okay what we're doing, you know, like, but everyone seems to be so like, you know, junkies, we are so fucking arrogant and we know so fucking well and better than everyone, you know, like,
it's okay, just have some more fucking of a pipe and just, it's okay, just get,
and you know, so confident, you know, I don't know what's the equivalent of laddish, you know, for a woman, but I was definitely this kind, you know. And so I was like that, and everyone was like that, and for the first time in NA, I was like, wait, is what? Like, what? And I went around the first 90 days I was amazed. I was like, what is that about? What do you mean? What do you mean I don't have to use again? That's a baffling concept. Like, ever again? I don't have to pick up? Oh, wow. And I thought that was amazing because I had never thought of it. I quit that, and picked up that, and sometimes I would only smoke weed, but I would go to my doctor and be like, I'm very stressed, because it was true. I mean, I knew what to say to manipulate him so he would give me more of whatever thing of pills I wanted, but it was true. I was just feeling very fucking shit all the time, so I was not really lying. I was merely like, yeah. Yeah, I was taking advantage of it, but I mean, he never said you have to mix this and this and this so he would get you a better high, you know, but yeah. But yeah, and NA just fucking felt right. It fucking did. And it's funny because it's always the part I get emotional. Like, I don't get emotional like when I connect with how sad I felt and how desperate. I get emotional when I fucking remember like, how fucking deep it just hit home so much, you know? I was like, and another girl in the fellowship, she told me, you remember a few years ago when you came in and I was a newcomer and you were a newcomer and you were telling me, you don't realize we don't have to use again. And you were like, so fucking. And she couldn't get it. She didn't get it. That's her story. She just didn't get it. She went back out and she stayed and I was blown away. And so people were telling me, okay, you have to get a sponsor, you have to do that. I was like, okay, I do, I get a sponsor, I get service, I sit here, okay, I say hi to everyone, I say hi, I make tea, okay, I make tea, and the only thing that I struggle to do, and I still fucking struggle to do, it's calling people. I really struggle to get to have this one-on-one connection with people. I like meetings because the attention is kind of divided, you know, it's not all, it's something that I always struggled with, but I got friends anyway, because I got service, and I went to do my service every fucking week since I got in NA. And when you go to the same meeting every week, you bond with people and you learn to know them and, you know, to love them and all that. And it fucking worked. It fucking worked. After, not that long after I started, the desire to use got lifted. It just got lifted. And that's not me, because otherwise I would have done it a long time before. It just got lifted. And I started working the steps with a lot of resistance, because there's still this part of me who thinks that, come on, how dare you thinking that you're gonna get it? How dare you even trying to get a better life? How dare you? You fucking shit. You're a junkie. Why would you even fucking try? And I'm not gonna lie, my fight for the past 5 years has not been with drugs. Like, I'm not fighting with drugs. Like, I got it. It's like fucking peanut allergy. You have a peanut allergy. You take peanuts and you get fucking, like, you know, that's it. Just don't fucking eat peanuts. You know, I got that. Okay, if I don't use drugs, okay, there is a reaction that happens in my, okay. And okay, I don't, no, the fight really is with my head, you know, it's with the part of my head who keeps telling me, who the fuck do you think you are? Getting all better like that, getting qualified, getting a job, having like, what the fuck? Like, or you're gonna mess it up, or people are gonna find you out, or I don't know. So it's like the impending doom thing. Like, oh my goodness! Like, and so it's always because NA taught me that really it doesn't really matter what you think. What matters is what you do. You know, you don't fucking pick up. You go to meetings. You walk the steps. You fucking do service, you know? That's what you do. You know, on the side of that, you can think that everyone is a fucking bitch, that people are not doing that properly, that you don't deserve that, that, you can, it's fine, it's okay, and you fucking probably will. I really do all the time, you know? I still get, and I think it's really relevant tonight, but I still fucking think that when people do weird things in meetings that, what the fuck is wrong with it? Well, they're sick. It's a fucking junkie meeting. What do you think was gonna happen? Like, if you're like in a business meeting at your workplace, you can be like a bit surprised that people behave weirdly, but really, in an NA meeting, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, it's in the name. People come here because they fucked, you know? You were not fucked enough to talk to yourself when you came in? Good for you, you know? I did everything that they told me to do, and it worked. So, the first person to be surprised obviously was me, because it worked, and all right, and come here, everything. And I changed a lot. I got friends, and I mean, when people tell me, oh, I would have never thought that you were like this. Thank you. It shows that the program really works, you know, it really works. I owe my life to NA. I really owe my life to NA. I keep taking actions. You know, I think that God meets me when I'm out of my comfort zone. So I keep pushing myself out of my comfort zone because that's where the shit happens, you know. The shit did not happen when I was using in my bed. The shit doesn't happen when I'm crying in my bed. The shit doesn't happen when I stay where it's all nice and comfortable. Even when it's known and uncomfortable, but it happens when I go out of that, you know, that's where God meets me. And that's how I got NA. I started to do things differently. I started to do things that were not the way my default setting was, you know, and it really worked. This is a beautiful fellowship. And I'm proud to say that I'm a member of NA. I'm just so grateful. My life is transformed. I'm transformed, and I still have a lot of work to do. And I'm happy that it's an ongoing process. So, I really hope that you got more out of that than the war stories. And if you didn't, well, go to another meeting. It's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.